we left off before the Hagim happened, the holy days happened. We were in the end of chapter 15, which is when Moses put a tree in the water and it became sweet and drinkable. And so we saw how that eventually comes to the water of life being drinkable because of the tree, which Mashiach, Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus was executed on, is what that tree represents, okay? So we have these types in the early part of your Bible being fulfilled in the later part of your Bible with the Brit Hadashah and the New Covenant and all. And so it's fun here. In Exodus, we come to manna and quail time. So we're pretty familiar stories about manna and quail, but it is a little mysterious here because of something that occurs for the first time in the Bible in chapter 16 of Exodus, which is the word Shabbat. Is in this chapter, as you have yelled Shabbat a million times, it is a Bible word, and it is in this chapter for the first time ever in your Bible. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. So chapter 16, they leave Elim, where the 70 springs and the 12 springs and 70 palms were. We talked about that last time. And they come to this place in the desert, and there is a problem. The whole community grumbled against Moshe and Aaron. The Israelites said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve to death. Typical complaint, right? Now, this is a recurring theme in the Tanakh with Israel in the wilderness. They seem to have this complaining problem. But that's one thing for us to say that they complained. But has anybody besides me ever complained about your situation to God? Yes, nobody. I'm the only one. I do it regularly. So now I am in the desert complaining. So don't look down on the Jews. Look down on me. Because I have a lot of complaints with God about my situation. Now, sometimes I don't say them out loud. And sometimes I do. So are you with me? Are we in the story or not we are in the story? We're in the story. As you know, the Bible says that all these things happened as examples for us. All right, so 1 month after the Exodus, Israel's in the desert, and they're complaining. And it says, in Egypt, we had food. And so it's like there's the world, and then there's Messiah. So what does the world have to offer? Ooh, so many pleasures. NFL, soccer if you're from England. There's people from England here today. They think of football as round. Okay, but anyway, the world has pleasures. We know, and we enjoy some of them, right? So what does God have to offer? What does being in Messiah have to offer? So much more, but it's in a little different way. See, the world fulfills you outwardly for a little while. But the Lord fulfills you in the soul. And it will last into eternity. And so it's a blessing that is much greater than anything in the world. But here in the desert, Egypt, we got to eat all we wanted to. You have brought us out into the desert. And so which one do we want? Do we want the world and its pleasures, or do we want the Lord and his pleasure, which is forever in the nefesh, is soul in Hebrew? Okay. Now, this is the story about manna coming. But before the manna comes, because that's God's answer to them needing food, the manna and the quail come, right? Which is miraculous. But what takes place here before the manna and the quail show up is something very exciting to me. In the morning, you will see Kavod Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. HaKavod, you know HaKavod. You're going to see the glory of Hashem, the Lord. And then down in verse 10, it says, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And this is before then that we have the man and the quail. So anyway, what's one of the things that the world cannot give you as a pleasure? One of the things the world will never, ever be able to give you is the glory of the Lord. Amen. So in the text here, you have this issue with, if you want to be in the Lord, we have the appearance of the glory, all right? So the world will never give you that, and we like the glory, don't we? Amen. So then later that same day, the quail came at sunset and covered the camp. And then in the morning, the dew came and it became manna, the bread from heaven. And so we know about the quail and the manna. But actually, everybody talks about the manna more than the quail. But the quail came first in the evening and the manna came next in the morning with the dew. And you know, in creation, which is partly of the text here because of the seventh day. But in creation, remember, the day starts at evening and then morning. So this is why Shabbat starts at Friday night at sundown, because there was evening and morning the first day. And so here the glory comes, and in the evening the food came, and in the morning the second part, the manna, comes. All right, so one thing I noticed when I'm reading this text in Ivrit there in Hebrew is we always say manna, and manna isn't in the Bible. It's a transliteration that tried to keep the Hebrew, and it's close. But in the Hebrew there's no hey at the end of the word. It's just man. It's never manna. So isn't that weird? Has anybody ever heard that taught, that the man came from heaven? Okay, anyway, read it in Hebrew. It's not, I'm not lying. It's that way. Okay, so the man came, right, in the morning. And so we know that this bread is a type of Yeshua, because he said that I am the real bread that comes down from heaven. And in this text, Moses says this is the bread from heaven. So the man is actually a type of our Lord Yeshua. All right, so verse 4, the rule comes. Then the Lord said to Moshe, I will rain down bread from heaven, and the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And so here comes the instructions. And this is cool because they're really complicated. Every day you gather enough for a day. On the sixth day, you gather enough for 2 days. Don't save any till the next day through the week. Just gather enough for 1 day, but on the sixth day, gather twice as much. It's just very complicated. You want me to go over those rules with you? So what's the first thing that happens? They gather some and they keep some left over for the next day. And you know what happens? It gets worms and stink. So break rule, worms stink. Worms and stink in your house. Okay, are we moving right along? So who wants to keep the rules? Who wants maggots? See how complicated the Bible is? That word maggot, though, is also worm or grub, and it's also the word for that when Yeshua was on the cross and he says, I am a worm. Same word in Hebrew. But anyway, that's the rules. Don't keep any over. And on the sixth day, though, you gather twice as much. And this is how God is going to test them. That's right, it says right in there. I will test them to see if they'll follow my, and what is the word there, my Torah. So we're going to have the word Shabbat and Torah in the text here. If we want to review the lesson, we can, but they do what they're told, except somebody has some left over and it gets the bugs. So they keep the rule for 5 days then, and the sixth day then they gather twice as much. And here we have in verse 22 then is the rules here, what happened. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Shabbat to the Lord. That's Kadosh Shabbat La Yod Heh Vav Heh. Okay? And this is the first time the word Shabbat is in your Bible. It's interesting, isn't it? Okay, so the Lord commanded, tomorrow is a day of rest, so keep the extra amount to the morning for the seventh day. And they did this, and there was no maggots supernaturally. See, historians like to explain this away as some natural phenomena. But if it was a natural occurrence, then how come it's got maggots every day except Shabbat, no maggots? See? And then how come it shows up every day for 6 days, and then on Shabbat, there's no manna? So it is a supernatural thing altogether. And quail also was rare in the desert. There was occasionally a quail, but in this text, it comes and covers the ground. So that's supernatural as well. We're only a month out of the Exodus, where we had all the supernatural occurrences that brought Israel out of Egypt. Eat it today as a Shabbat to the Lord, and there'll be no manna on the ground today. But in verse 27, some people went out wandering around on the seventh day looking for some. First rule, they broke and got maggots. Second rule, they're out wandering around. why isn't there no manna? And now God says, how long will you refuse to keep my mitzvot, which is my laws, and my Torah, my commands, and my laws? So God explains it again, and then, okay, now they got it, and now they obey it, and we're moving right along. So it was a day of rest, and that is what happened. So we have the Shabbat law now, and we have manna, and the quail, and the manna and Shabbat are actually going to be pictures of Mashiach. Now, you all know in the Messianic movement, if you've been around it very long, that there are two Torahs. One is the written Torah, and one is the oral Torah. Now, in the Messianic movement, they don't recognize oral Torah very often, but some do. But it really is requirement if you're going to keep Torah. You need the oral law because the Bible doesn't define what work is, except for a couple things. You can't make a fire in your house. And then later on in Exodus, somebody's out gathering wood, and God says you must stone him. So we have those two, but can you mow your lawn? Can you make a fire outside your house? In other words, can you smoke if you smoke inside? Because you kindle fire. What about your furnace in the wintertime? See, nowadays they don't have pilot lights. They're electric, and so that would be to kindle fire. You can't turn your furnace on. What am I saying? As soon as you have Torah, you'll have questions. The questions are answered by the oral Torah. And so that's Talmud, and it goes on forever. Can you get your donkey out of a hole if it falls in on Shabbat? What does the Talmud say? Only if it's going to die. Otherwise, it has to wait till sundown. Then you get it out. Okay, how far can you walk on Shabbat? Is that work? See, most people just think, well, work is not going to work. Will you get paid? Well, what about the guy gathering wood? He wasn't getting paid. He's just out getting wood because he didn't get enough. Cold front came through. There's one coming here in about 10 days. So anyway, I'm not saying you need to keep the oral law. I'm just saying it was necessary for them because they had questions. And everybody has questions, right? And in fact, the Dar El Him Chaim in Fort Collins, when I talked to Danny, when he went rabbinic as a Messianic pastor, he said it's rabbinic Judaism. We're keeping the oral law. And he was one of my teachers where I grew up. So then they started separating the guys and the girls during the Torah reading and everything, and they went rabbinic. Yeah, it was great. But no, I would not ever go there. All right, don't get confused. I'm not saying to go there. I'm just saying why there wasn't another Torah given, right? Because of all the questions you have to ask. And then they put fences around the laws, and that's part of the oral law also. And when I was in yeshiva, as you've heard me tell, we had a very serious discussion on whether or not we should pre-tear the toilet paper before Friday night started. Because eventually, what became the rules for work? Whatever was done to build the Mishkan was considered work because the Mishkan was not worked on Shabbat. So they tore and they cut fabric, so therefore you cannot tear or cut on Shabbat in the oral law. And so I'm in Messianic yeshiva, and we're discussing, and I was rubbing a hole in my forehead. Maybe we should just fast and we wouldn't have to deal with toilet paper. But yes, so the discussion was, shall we pre-tear? And some people did pre-tear piles of toilet paper because that was considered work in the oral law. So aren't we having fun yet? So anyway, in the Messianic movement today, there's no agreement on keeping Torah, or there's no agreement on how to keep Shabbat either. If you wander around, you'll find out. Some people drive, some people don't. And some people turn on the light, and some people don't. You know, when Yisrael Cohen was standing in front of the bathroom on our Friday night meeting, and there's nobody in there, and I go, Cohen, there's nobody in there. And he says, can you turn the light on for me? Because that's a sin. He's kindling fire in the house. It's just plain written Torah. That's not oral law, that's written law. Cannot kindle fire. To make light, you make fire. So anyway, I turned the light on. When he went in, I shut it off. Okay, now let's move on. Mike did that. He's so bad. Okay, so anyway, the agreement on these things, it goes forever, and it's great to have conversations about it. I love Messianic Judaism. But you know how I deal with these externals. See, Shabbat's an external law. It's not a matter of the heart. It's something you do outwardly, like don't gather wood. That's an external physical commandment, not something that's like don't have unforgiveness in your heart type thing. That's a heart matter. Gathering wood is an external. On the externals, I just include the fourth feast, and that's how I deal with it. And then everybody's happy. Everybody can be in peace. What is the fourth feast? Shavuot, Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. So now, instead of asking the Talmud if you can rescue your donkey that fell in the hole on Saturday afternoon, you can ask the Holy Spirit. Now everybody gets along, and I can blame everything on God. See? Now, this is the deal, though. You're not the Holy Spirit, so don't you be telling other people how to keep their Shabbat. See? Because that's where it gets ugly, and that's where it gets maggots. Stinky. Okay, we're moving right along. In verse 32, a bowl of manna was kept by the ark in the tabernacle in the Mishkan after it was built. So that's the story of manna. Okay, so this went on for 40 years. There never was any manna on the ground on the seventh day. For 40 years, this went on without a glitch, okay? And it lasted until they what? Crossed into the promised land. And then the manna stopped on that day, and that was right after Passover. It was the Feast of First Fruits when the bread stopped, and then they had ate the produce of the land, which is another whole message. So quail and bread and the Shabbat. All right, now we know the seventh day was made holy in creation, right? We honor that day when we remember it, when we shout Shabbat Shalom. We're honoring God's creation day. And it's not Sunday or Yom Rishon, right? And when the Hellenistic church took over in Rome and in the fourth century, they changed all the Jewishness away and substituted. And so most Christians think that the Shabbat is Sunday, but it's not. And the seventh 1,000-year period is the Shabbat, which you know as the millennium, right? And so as far as Shabbat rules in the New Covenant, though, I feel that you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's have a little fun real fast with the Shabbat word. First, how do you say rest in Hebrew? Shabbat. How do you say seven? Sheva, same root word. And how do you say to sit? Sheva. How do you say to sit Shiva? At a funeral in Judaism, you sit for 7 days, and it's called that. And really in Hebrew, though, it's Sheva Sheva, because to sit is Sheva, and seven is Sheva, and to sit Sheva is... Okay, next page of notes. Here we go. I'm having fun with that word, because you know seven is Shabbat, right? One of the few words that the bet is still a bet, even when it's not the first letter of the word, is the Shabbat. It's one of the rare exceptions to the vet bet rule. Okay, so the seventh day in Genesis 2:1 had God blessing it and sanctifying it. And the word sanctify there is it's Baruch, blessed, and Kadosh, holy. Okay, now what's the sign of the Abrahamic covenant? Brit Milah, circumcision. That's why Moses had problem on the way to Egypt, right? And what is the sign of the Moses covenant, which will come up at Sinai here in a couple chapters? The sign of the Moses covenant is HaShabbat, the Sabbath. And they were an assembly in the desert, and then when they were given the Shabbat, they became a holy assembly, because no one had ever had a rule in the history of the world at that time where thou shalt not work on a certain day. Okay, so now some fun from the book of Hebrews. Now, you can take this or not, and you can yell at me later. All right, in the book of Hebrews, we have something about Shabbat. And it starts in chapter 3, verse 7, and it goes through chapter 4, verse 13. It starts, though, in chapter 3. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So it starts, the text on Shabbat in the book of Ivrit, Hebrews, Messianic Jews, starts with the Holy Spirit and the heart. Isn't that fascinating? As a New Covenant perspective, it's spirit and heart, right? And it's talking about the rebellion in the desert, which will be in the next chapter next week. He declared an oath that they would not enter my rest. This is quoted. This is a verse out of Psalms that is quoted in Hebrews, talking about the rebellion in the desert. And then God said with an oath that they would not enter my rest. Okay, verse 19, they were not able to enter in because of their unbelief. And this entering in, what is the entering in from the desert? What does entering in mean? It means the land, Haaretz. So it is my rest, it is Shabbat, and it's the land are all connected in Hebrews here. Have you ever heard that? So they died in the wilderness. They did not enter the promised land, which God called his rest. And the word rest there is not the Shabbat word. It's the Menachem word. And you know what the Menachem word is in the New Testament? It is the word comforter, which is the personal name for the Holy Spirit. So now you have the rest is also connected to the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so since that promise still stands, it says in chapter 4 now, we have had the gospel preached to us. Now the promised land is the gospel. And we who believe enter that rest. And it says the context is the seventh day when God rested. So now we go back to Shabbat. We go forward to the land. We go to his rest. And we come to the land and the gospel. And now God's rest is what we're to enter into. And it says it remains that we enter into that rest. And it's talking about the gospel. And it says here, it is today. Now this is towards the end of the first century when this book was written. So this is interesting. If Joshua had given us rest, where is that verse Shemoneh? For if Yahushua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Shabbat rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. So the book of Hebrews is blowing this thing away right over the top of my head. How do I handle this? It is today. Now there remains a Shabbat rest for God's people. And read that Shabbat rest in Greek. And what does it say? Shabbat. They never translated it. It's Shabbat. A Shabbat rest. And it is to be entered into. The commandment for Shabbat is a negative commandment. Thou shalt not work. But the book of Hebrews, talking about the gospel, says, it doesn't say, thou shalt not work. What does it say? It says, thou shalt enter. Somebody else's work. Somebody else's work. Now what are you going to do? How do you enter somebody else's work? Today. If we go from the first page of the Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, the seventh day of creation is God's rest. God's rest is also called the promised land. And the promised land is also called the gospel of the new covenant. And the gospel is also Yeshua. So Shabbat is Messiah. And we know all the Torah speaks only of Messiah. So that shouldn't be a surprise. Shabbat is holy, and it is Messiah. And now we know why on the first page of our Bible that the seventh day is blessed and called holy. It's because it is eventually going to open up into all of these things, including the person of Messiah. So how does someone enter someone else's rest? Well, you got to get to the presence of the Lord in Messiah. And it's by that Menachem word, which is also the word for rest, which is the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So they're all holy. They're all holy. But the reason it is so holy is because eventually it leads us to the person of God himself, Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. I'm telling you, New Covenant law is always higher and it's always harder than the Torah law. Anybody can take a day off, but you shall take a day off and enter into somebody else's rest by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Can you say Shabbat Shalom? Yah varekecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'ir Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yoseim lecha shalom b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar HaShalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, amen and amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen.